Welcome back to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. I am your Blasphemous Pope Harry, and today's meditation is about surface water, meditation number 26. But before we get into that, let's take care of these show notes. First and foremost, of course, is the Friends of the Blasphemous Pope podcast. We have Mr. Vincent Easley, our paid supporter. He, of course, gets the pole position on this one. And he is representing RLM, that is Real Liberty Media, over at reallibertymedia.com. It's an internet radio station that they are currently going over some facelift stuff on their site, but they are active. You can go over there and chat with like-minded individuals if you are into liberty. Speaking of which, we have Donna Van Meter and Amy Russell over on Broad Assumptions. That's a project that isn't launched yet, but is potentially going to be launching on Real Liberty Media. We're not sure about a date as of yet. Star O'Hara over at The Extremist Being Awesome. That is her project. You can get access to that via her Substack, which the link is in the description of this podcast. What Extremist Being Awesome is a motivation and accountability group, and basically all they really do is try to get you to work on your projects so that you can move them forward with some dedicated time and effort. Nathan Frazier over at Success Magica is where you can pretty much find him on the socials. He is a master of the dark arts of marketing, and if you check out his YouTube channel, his Instagram, his Facebook, you will find nuggets of information and knowledge about how to put everyday magic into your marketing campaigns. We have a fellow anchor podcaster here at Wild Little Podcast. Her Twitter handle is farmersonly.com, which is a joke, but you know, it's funny. Definitely give her a listen too. It's a pretty wild ride for a young lady who is also sort of a rancher as well. We have Chrissy Caruana over on Instagram, We Trade Free, Kennedy Edwards, and London Gardens over on Twitter, as well as Mr. Mike Witt over on Instagram. You can reach me on socials. Just look up my name. It's pretty much there everywhere. And you can interact with me there if you want to have a conversation. We do a lot of projects here, and you can get visual proof of those projects via my socials and also my website, harryfelker.wordpress.com. Coincidentally, anytime we have a podcast that requires videos, links, and imagery, we generally put that over there onto the WordPress site. So if there's something I say and this will be on WordPress, that's generally what that means. Just look up the name of the podcast in the WordPress and it will be there. Speaking of which, communication, it's a very important thing, and though I do dog the whole internet community thing because it's not in the flesh, it is a useful tool in order to find people who are local to you that share your beliefs. Now, with that being said, there is a Discord. Link, of course, is in the chat. But you can also reach out to me with questions, comments, concerns. If you have some criticism of what I'm doing here, you can absolutely put that there between the socials, my website, or you can use Anchor's messaging app. The link for that messaging app is right there on the homepage of this podcast. Now, without any further ado, let's get into Meditation 26, Surface Water. This meditation is really for people who are very fortunate and very unfortunate. And there's a reason why that is. The very fortunate people are people who are already on land, have it established, have water access already on their land. Whether they have a river, or they have a lake access, or they have a pond that's fed from either an underground source or via melt and rainwater. That's a win already. You are 99% ahead of the game. You generally can disregard anything about looking for water via seeps and springs because you have this large body of water that you have access to. Now, as far as the unfortunate people are concerned, people who are wandering, if you are in the situation where all hell breaks loose and you are on foot wandering around, the things I'm going to be talking about here will help you develop resources that you will be able to use regardless of the fact that you are not located in one area. Now, with that being said, when we come back after this quick ad break, we're going to be talking about methodology of collecting surface water. I hope you stick through. Talk to you then. Welcome back. All right, so we're going to be talking about the methodology of how we're going to get water out of these rivers, streams, ponds, lakes, and into your home. First and foremost, I want to talk about some terminology here. We're going to be using the word infiltration a lot, and infiltration doesn't mean like spy type of infiltration, although it sort of does. We're talking about how water infiltrates the soil from underneath a river. We have to remember something, that rivers, streams, these are runoff collectors. And you've heard me talk about runoff collection when we talked about collecting off of the roof. It's the same principle. That's naturally how runoff happens. It runs off, goes into a body of water, and then proceeds to continue rolling away until it's all either emptied out into a larger body of water or soaks all into the ground. Now, when we deal with infiltration is its own filtering system of sorts. It is a mechanical filter. If you remember when I was talking about filtration, mechanical filters are comprised mostly of sand and gravel. That's generally what the filtration you're going to be getting. The sand will take out all of the bacteria, because the bacteria will cling to the sand, and the gravel will help keep the sediment out of your system. So you have a filtration system already built in. You have a water source, and if it's a stable water source, when you're at your lowest, when you're in a dry season, that's going to pretty much gauge where your depth is going to be for your systems. First and foremost, we're going to be talking about something that we already talked about, a well. An infiltration well is a little bit different than the traditional well. We're not going all the way down to an aquifer or down to bedrock. We're going only a few meters down under the surface. We just want to be low enough that we're lower than the riverbed. And that's as far as our collection piping has to go for this well. You know, the piping that's going to attach to the pump, it just needs to go slightly below, maybe by about a meter, than the riverbed in and of itself. This does require a lot of digging. This may require some heavy equipment because it won't be easy and it won't be very safe to do it on your own. Like, at least bring a buddy. If you're going to be shoveling out this dirt, you're definitely going to want to at least have somebody there with you. These wells, these shallow wells, they do allow for natural filtration. And even in the event that your river, your whatever, runs dry, there will still be residual water in the ground from the infiltration. And that's one of the things that this takes advantage of, that there will be water in the ground. If your water is not running dry, if your well is not running dry completely, you're still in business, right? Now, as far as distanced from your water source, from your river, your lake, where have you, it's really situational based on the composition of your soil. If you have rocky soil, you want to be further away so that filtration can take place. If you have hard, compact clay, the filtration is going to be much more intense. The water is going to move a lot slower, and you can be much closer to the water source with your well. The other consideration you want to put in here is, where is that water going from where the well is? You want to try to make sure that transporting the water is not an undue burden. So there's that. There's infiltration wells in a basket. Again, any diagrams that are going to be attached to this are going to be on my website at harryfelker.wordpress.com. Feel free to jump on over there and take a look at the post with the same name as this, Meditation 26, Surface Water. Now, infiltration galleries are a different type of well. They do operate on the premise of the well. You will have your well there. But what these do is they give an extra added benefit to being able to customize how quickly your well fills by adding infiltration channels. And those infiltration channels are just basically pipes that have holes drilled into them, and they're driven into the ground away from the well, and depending on the source of water, parallel or perpendicular to the source of water. This is a lot of work. Now, you don't necessarily have to drive these in. You can dig the trenches and do all of that stuff as well. And we will be talking about that in a minute. The collection trench has to be below the water level, the infiltration level of the water. And that's something you have to realize is going to mean it's a lot of wet work. When we come back, we're going to finish up this conversation on infiltration galleries, and then we will be moving on to direct intake. Welcome back. Okay, so we're going to finish up infiltration galleries. So in the last segment, I did mention that you can go parallel or perpendicular to your water source. Generally, if you have a fast moving or an extremely deep water source, something that you can't easily divert, you're going to always want to go parallel. And the reason why you want to go parallel is because you're going to be getting water from a longer range, and that water will then fill your well more easily. If you do have a small stream, something that's easily divertible, easy to stop or bucket out so that you can work underneath it, you can then go perpendicular. If you go perpendicular, the idea here is to build your collection piping underneath the bed of the stream. At this point, it would not be a river. Rivers generally are much larger scale than streams are. But if you can divert your stream by damming it or what have you, you will then be able to build your collection tubes underneath. The perk about this is that you are going to be ensuring your filtration. You can build a mechanical filter around your piping, you know, gravel, then sand, and allow the water to pass through that in order to get into your well, and that will be a benefit automatically. It also offers you the ability to, because you're building your own filtration system, you'll be able to then be a little bit closer to the stream. Depending on how your residence is positioned, this may be beneficial, this may not be beneficial, but at least it's a possibility. Now, one of the perks to being able to go underneath your stream bed is that you'll be able to customize the flow to your liking. And that means you can put as many collection tubes underneath that stream bed as you need to continue to fill your well as you use that water. So once you get your collection tubes in, you get your filtration in place, you put your soil back where it was, where you got it from, and you let loose your dam and your stream runs over, after a little while, you are going to have a very full well, and you are going to be able to use that well perpetually. So now let's move on to direct river intake. First and foremost, I want to say this. Direct river intake involves non-filtered water, so you will have to filter at least to the degree that we're doing infiltration systems. But of course, you're going to want to test your water because there are other factors. If you are pulling straight from a river, if someone is using that water and upstream from you, then you are going to have problems. Regardless of your filtration system, you're going to have additional treatment. And that's something that you need to know before you start drinking it, obviously. So dependent on your situation is really dependent on your treatment protocols. But off the bat, I will tell you right away, you're going to automatically need mechanical filtration. That's always going to be the case because bacteria exists in nature and mechanical filtration helps deal with bacteria. Now, when we do direct river intake, there is a sweet spot in all bodies of water where you're not going to have generally very much fish. You're not going to have the fish's waste or the regular contaminations that you find in rivers. But it's not so low that when you have a dry season that the level of the river goes below your intake. That is where you need to have your intake be. Those areas, depending on the depth of the river, are usually only about half of a meter. So you have to be really careful. You have to know where your high and low tide, quote unquote, as far as seasonal is concerned, where that all lies. But if you position this properly, the water that you're pulling will be cleaner than if you were pulling it straight from the bottom or straight from the top. And that's something that you really want to keep in mind. You want to make sure that you're doing. I can't stress this enough. Get the water from the right part of the river, and it will save you a lot of time and a lot of effort in getting good, clean, potable water and having it perpetually run to your house. Granted, I will always suggest if you have the opportunity to, underground is always going to be better, but if you have to pull it above ground from the river, then you want to definitely be in the sweet spot where you're below the surface, but you're above the bottom, so you're not collecting sediment, collecting fish waste, dead animals, chemicals, and whatnot. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how we build our direct river intake and how we can protect our river resources while we do that. And welcome back to Meditation 26, Surface Water. All right, so we are on the collection area. Now, the collection area comprises of two parts, and those two parts are really specific to things that are less than like 15 feet across. So if you have a river that is less than 15 feet across, what you need to know is that you're going to be creating current changes in the river. Okay, those current changes are going to increase the chances that erosion is going to happen on the opposite bank. So it is very important for you to protect that opposite bank, because if erosion happens there, it affects the water level of your collection area, and therefore during a dry season you could be losing access to water due to lowering river height because of erosion. So your collection area is going to comprise of two parts. This is very specific to anything smaller than 15 feet wide. You're going to have a wing wall, and that's going to be your collection area. That wing wall, what it will do is it'll create a small eddy or whirlpool effect in an area, and that will be where you're going to be collecting your water from. On the opposite bank from where your wing wall is, you are going to want to construct what is known as a riprap. This riprap basically is going to shore up the bank on the opposite side of your collection area. The reason why you do this is, as I'd stated, erosion will deplete your water level. If your water level goes below where it normally would during like a dry season, you could end up losing access to your water, and you could end up diverting the river into a different direction eventually, and that could also be a problem. So keeping all of these things in mind, if you want to have sustainable water, if you want to be self-sufficient, you have to actually protect your resources, and the riprap will protect this resource. So that's number one there. I am always going to try and promote the most sustainable and the least environmentally impactful way to which you can survive. So there's that. You want to protect your resources because you want to have access to them years down the road. This is how you do that. Now, basically the wing wall, when it creates this small eddy pool, what happens there is, first and foremost, there is no chance for stagnation in the eddy pool. And that's a very important part of this, because if you have stagnation, you have rampant bacterial growth, you have contaminants settling in that area, and then you get sick from your water. The whole point here is to try and get as much water as possible with the least amount of treatment as possible. That's why, first and foremost, infiltration well and infiltration gallery is your best option. But if, let's say, you are not in a stable situation, you're mobile, these are going to be methodologies that you can use even in a temporary basis to get water from an area before you move on. So basically speaking, if you're pulling water out this way, you're going to be using either an electric pump or B, a mechanical pump. If you are fortunate enough that your living arrangement is actually downhill from where the water is, you can actually do this via gravity. Gravity feed into a storage tank, and that storage tank be where you feed the water into your home. That is the optimal setup, because the less mechanical parts, the less things break. And the less things break, the less complicated it is to get them fixed, especially if you're in a situation where you do not have the access to convenient society perks. You know, so we're going to just keep that in mind. The simpler the systems are, the easier they are to fix. So pretty much similar to the streams and seeps conversation, your river areas, you're going to want to develop them. These are going to be resources that will pay in spades, and the larger the resource is at the beginning of development, the more access to the resource you will have, the more water you'll get, the more fish you'll be able to fish, if you know, because that's also a thing too. If you have a body of water, there may be fish there. It means you have free food. Now, when we talk about deeper rivers, things that you're not going to easily be able to construct a wing wall, and of course, let me make sure that we're clear, there'll be diagrams and all this type of stuff over on WordPress, harryfelker.wordpress.com. Make sure you go over there and take a look at all of that stuff. Now, with deeper rivers, you're not going to be able to construct a wing wall, and with wider rivers, you're not going to need that riprap. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what we do in the case of deeper rivers, and then some of the other considerations that we need to really think about. Talk to you then. Welcome back. Okay, now we're going to be talking about deeper and faster rivers. Not necessarily that deeper rivers are faster, but if you have a river that's running fast that isn't all that deep or isn't all that wide, it's still going to apply here, because you can't put a wing wall up if the river's got too much force behind it, because it'll just knock it right over and then you don't have a collection area anymore. So with deeper and faster rivers, there is another popular methodology. Instead of creating this eddy pool with a wing wall, you are going to drop concrete rings similar to the ones that they use for septic tanks. These will give you a protected area, so there won't be much detritus or what have you going into the area for you to siphon water out of the river. This methodology uses a catwalk built between the top of the ring all the way to the shore, so that you can service your collection area if you need to, and then obviously a pipe coming up out of there and following underneath the catwalk. The catwalk then protects the pipe as well. Long story short, if you're lucky and all the planets aligned, your storage tank and your home are at a lower altitude than your water source, and you can gravity feed everything. And that would be great and optimal if that were the case. That is not always going to be the case. It's not often going to be the case. Generally, water sources are usually in depressed landscapes, so you are probably going to need pumps. And in that case, you are going to need to know how to maintain them. You are going to need to know how to service them if that's the case. Going back to the collection area, the other thing I really want to mention about the collection area is that your collection area, being a river, being a living resource basically, is going to cause complications. And that's something that is completely unavoidable, but it is preventable to a degree. Make sure, if you're collecting from a direct river intake, that your direct river intake pipe is, of course, screened, so that this way fish are not going to be swimming up into your system. Especially if you have a mechanical pump, if you have fish swimming into your system, you are going to have chopped fish in your water, and that is not a pleasant experience. That being said, this is pretty much it. You know, if you can tackle these ideas, then you've pretty much got it. The one thing I do have to say is if you are part of the unfortunate group of people that this is for, direct water intake is probably going to be your best bet. And of course, that means that you are going to have filtration systems available so that you can, that are on the move, so that you can constantly have clean water. If you are in a stable situation and you have access to water on your property, absolutely go with infiltration systems, whether it be the infiltration well or the infiltration gallery. Either one will be far superior to getting you your much needed water than direct intake. Now, with that being said, there are some things that we need to consider. And I know I'm beating a dead horse with this, but purity. You want to test your water often. You do want to test your water whenever it starts to taste different, but you also want to test it on a regular basis, because especially if you're dealing with a river, you have no idea what's going on upstream from you. Animals could be dying in the river or dying next to the river and then seeping biological waste into the river. People could be using it for a toilet. People could be using it to wash clothes. It is important to know what is in your drinking water at all times. I don't think I've said this enough, and I will probably say it next week as well. The other thing you really want to think about is time. You want to look at your long-term goals for developing your resource and your short-term goals for getting your needs met for water. And it's very important to keep both of these things in mind when you are planning your self-sufficient sustainable resource collection. Now, the other thing to remember is how long you expect to be there. If you are not expecting to be there often, or if you're expecting to be there periodically throughout the year, you may want to have less permanent solutions put in place. And that's something to think about. The other thing to think about is the weather in the area. If your weather systems are not very wet and you can't really guarantee that your river is going to be there full time, it's going to affect your water collection processes. That's it for surface water. I thank everybody for coming, and I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. When we come back next week, we will be talking about air collection.